All right. Hey, guys, can we just thank our awesome band and volunteers for putting on such an incredible night of worship, just countless hours. Hey, guys, my name is Andrew. I'm the lead pastor here at Mercy Hill, and we are excited to have you. If you are new with us, man, we want you to know that we are a church that is not just trying to grow big, all right? Our kind of philosophy of church is let us help grow you to change the world, all right? We want to help you grow so that you can make an impact where you live, work, and play. By God's grace, we are one church that meets in multiple locations, and now we are one family of churches that's meeting in multiple cities. Okay, and so we're excited to see where God has taken us. But man, if this is your first time with us, we want you to hear you are an honored guest with us. We're excited that you are here. We have a gift for you. We would love to meet you right outside of the lobby. You can check out our first time guest tent. We would love to meet you there and give you that gift. So thank you so much for being with us here this afternoon. Hey guys, if you have a copy of scripture, you can take it out and turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, or if you want to get there on your phone, or if you just want to kind of take it in today, we're going to have the scripture references on the screen for you here in just a minute as I get going. But I know that some of you guys have probably wondered, man, why Tanger? You know, why bring everybody together this year? And really, honestly, it's very simple. It's just that we sort of feel like, and I don't know if you guys ever feel like this, but in such a distracting age, such a fast-paced culture, such a slice and dice, thinking about 1,000 different things, we wanted to create a space for all of our campuses to come together, man, the church family and friends, all right? So I know not everybody here is just in the church family of Mercy Hill, but friends as well, create sort of an opportunity for our community to come together, stand right in the heart of the triad, and to worship Jesus together and to focus, okay? That's sort of the word. In a distracting age, it's time sometimes to slow down and sort of take in the view and just kind of devote a couple of hours to just being here and sitting down and thinking about why we celebrate Christmas. I know that I need this because I get distracted so easily. I'm thinking about 1,000 different things all the time. I can never find my keys, okay? My wife is constantly having to bring my lunch or bring my computer or something to the office because I'm thinking about 1,000 different things and I can't ever get all my stuff together. A couple years ago, we went to Chick-fil-A, I was going to meet Anna there, and I had two of the kids with me, Hattie Jo's a little bit older. Benaiah at the time was pretty young, and it's just like always, hustling, distracted, thinking about all this stuff. I get there before Anna gets there, and I love Chick-fil-A, and this crowd, I know you guys love Chick-fil-A, right? I mean, it's the Christian chicken, okay? So you guys are loving that. So we love it, and I love it, but I get there, and because it's so awesome, there's 1,000 people there, okay? But Anna's not there yet. I got 10 minutes till she's supposed to be there. I'm like, man, let's go in the kids' play place, and this was pre-COVID when they had that, and so the kids are all running around in there, and man, next thing you know, it's 5 minutes later, and what was two or three kids has turned into 25 screaming kids, okay? And I don't know about you guys, if you ever just sort of hit that point of like, man, I got to get out of here, right? I don't know that I'm going to be able to be here. I call Anna, she's still 10 minutes away. And you know, I tell Hattie Jo, I'm like, hey, we gotta go, okay? I said, hey, I need you to go find your brother and we gotta get out of here. And she said, but Dad, and I said, Hattie Jo, I've hit the limit, okay? We can't be somewhere that's crowded. We're going to Subway. It's never crowded, okay? So we're going there. And so she says, but Dad, and I'm like, Hattie Jo, hey, I need you to listen to me right now, okay? Find your brother. She said, Dad, you're holding him, okay? I'm holding him like this. His eyes are about this big, okay? And I'm looking at him, he's looking at me, and Hattie Jo is looking like, what is wrong with you, okay? And she's like the one holding it all together. I'm like, man, find my keys. We gotta get out of here, okay? So I don't know about you guys, that's a little microcosm of how my mind can be in 1,000 different directions. Sometimes that's a product of the culture that we live in, and sometimes that means that we need to just take a little bit of a time out and pause and slow down, and that is exactly what tonight is for, okay? Instead of allowing our mind to be thinking about 1,000 things, let's think deeply about one thing. Let's come together and celebrate well this whole idea of what Christ has done. Here's the big idea that I want to get across in my short time tonight. Christmas reminds God's people that they are His children, okay? Christmas is about reminding God's people for us on this side of Christmas, on this side in the timeline of the cross, as we're looking back. Guys, every year we have an opportunity to celebrate what God has done in bringing us into His family if you are a believer. Now, listen, everybody, I'm going to get into this in a minute. Everybody is a part of creation and stamped with the image of God. Okay, there is a sense in which there is God's family in terms of his created family, but there is another sense in which we are born again or brought into. We were strangers, but then we become sons and daughters when we put our faith in the gospel and we become the family of God. And at Christmas time, Christians have an opportunity to look back and to remember what God has done in sending Christ so that we can be family, we can be his children. Guys, where we live, just right here in the South, man, I understand that you probably have the parts of the whole Christian thing. And what I mean by that is this. You sort of have the individual parts, I bet. If I said, hey, even if you're not a believer, okay, and in a room this size, there's probably hundreds that have not put their faith in Christ. Even you would say, hey, if I said, tell me about the Christian thing, you could probably say, virgin, manger, Jesus, miracles, cross, okay, resurrection. I mean, you know, generally speaking, we kind of know those things because we've grown up in a Christianized society, okay? You understand those things. What I want to try to push to see is this. Hey, we have the parts, but do we have the point? We have the symbols, but do we have the full story and the weight? Man, Christmas is an integral part, the incarnation. Jesus coming to earth, the Son of God, the divine person, taking a human nature into himself. This is an integral part of the whole story of how you and I come back into the family of God and are promised a glorious future. I want you to think about this with me, okay? Man, we've seen enough Hallmark movies and Dr. Seuss to know that presents aren't the point of Christmas. Most of you guys are going to say, yeah, what's the point of Christmas? Family, you know, it's being with friends. Man, that's only half right. Guys, the point of Christmas and the point of the Christian kind of story about Jesus is not being with family. It's that God makes you and I his family and then promises us a future with our friends and community under his sight and the worship of him for all time. And it's a beautiful thing. I want to take you guys to one verse tonight with my time, all right? I'm going to read three, but we're going to go back and circle to one. It's one of my favorite passages in the New Testament. I think it speaks deeply to us and should overwhelm our heart today. And here's what it says, all right? See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Man, I don't know about you guys, but when we were singing those last two songs, every single time we sing those songs at Mercy Hill, man, tears come to my eyes because I think not only of what we will be like, others that have already gone, before us and are already there. I think about my little girl, Faith Ann, who has special needs and Down syndrome and the way that she's going to dance in the kingdom, and we will be like him. There is so much to hope in this passage because we shall see him as he is, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Now, I have a couple. Listen, we could preach on this for days, weeks. I mean, this is a deep passage, okay? But I want to try to get one thing across, and therefore we're going to circle back to one verse. If you're new to church or if you're new to a church like Mercy Hill, I want to tell you what we're going to do because this is all a sermon is. At Mercy Hill, we do something called expository preaching. Sounds like a big idea. It's not. All it means is exposing preaching. All it means is that I am not the authority. The Bible is the authority, okay? And what I do, my job, is to try to expose and make it accessible, try to set the table for us so that we'll understand it well and maybe help it stick a little bit so that as we're going about our life over the next week, we might remember some of these things. So let's expose one of these verses and sit underneath it and see what it has to say for us today. Let's look at one verse tonight, all right? See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. Just take it as it comes. The first word here says, see. See what kind of love. What it says in the old version is, behold what kind of love. Take in what kind of love. Make sure that you don't miss what kind of love this is. The first thing that we need to see here is that there is a love that is being explained that we don't need to gloss over. And many of us, if you've grown up in church, it's easy at this time of year to gloss over some of these things. Don't. We need to stop and behold. It's not just about understanding the love of God. It's about standing under the love of God and taking it in. It's one thing to understand the night sky. It's another thing to stand under the stars and to take in their beauty. Behold, see. See what kind of love this is. Now, what are we supposed to see in this passage? We're supposed to see the extravagant love that the Father has given to those who are called his children. The extravagance of it, the grandness of it, the beauty of it, the magnitude of it, the weight of it. Behold what kind of love this is. You know, in the original language that this was written in, it's actually a figure of speech here, okay? So what's translated as what kind of love, if you translated it literally, it would say, what country is this from? Okay, it's an idiom. It's a figure of speech. We do this in our culture as well, all right? You think about our culture, we would say, maybe I'll give you an example. We would say of an athlete, think about a freakish athlete, okay? I'm talking a Katie Ledecky from the Olympics. I'm talking a Usain Bolt. I'm talking a Bo Jackson. Ain't never been another Bo Jackson, okay? They say of Bo Jackson, he could do a backflip in water that was waist deep. They say in high school, Bo Jackson would jump up on top, okay, of where the rim was all the way to the top of the backboard and take money off of it. All right, there ain't never been another Bo Jackson. What do we say about these type of athletes? We say, what planet are they from, right? We say, man, they were hatched, not born, okay? They are different. They are different from all of us. Well, that's the figure of speech that we use. We would say, man, what planet is this guy from? What planet is this woman from? It's the same idea. In this text, what John is saying is, hey, behold, what planet is this from? This love of God. It is so grand. It is so extravagant. The weight of it, the vastness of it. What kind of love is this that we would be called the children of God? We need to behold it and see it. Guys, right here in the first half of this verse, I want you to see, don't miss this, there is a fact and there is a command, and much of the Bible goes this way, okay? The fact is, God's love is otherworldly. The command is, don't stop, don't gloss over it. Stop and take it in. Behold it and see it. Man, I think about this for me because, man, I really need this. I grew up in church. Maybe some of you guys did, okay? I had a drug problem by the time I was in fifth grade. I had been drugged to church every time it was open, okay? I mean, morning, night, Monday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Actually, I'm joking. I look back on that, so I'm extremely grateful for it. But I think about this. If you grew up in church, there is so much good that comes from that, okay? And then one thing that is dangerous that comes from that is that we get used to the love of God and we don't see it for what it is. And what we got to do tonight is sort of fight to say, no, I'm going to behold it. I'm not going to get used to it. All right, for some of you that aren't believers, and maybe you're like, man, I'm kind of new to this whole thing. Maybe this is the first time you're ever hearing this, and maybe this will be a little easier for you. But some of you have been Christians for 30, 40, 50 years. It's like you need to think, stop, and behold it. Let me give you an illustration of this, okay? We live north in Guilford County. You drive up Battleground all the way up 220, and right as you're getting out of Guilford County, that's where me and my family live. And right up there, every single day on my way home, all right, from the office or wherever I am, I always look to my left right when I'm going just about to the highway 158, okay? So 220 and 158, if you're familiar with that area. Man, I look to my left. There's a massive amount of power lines that go all the way to Blues Creek. And if you look down those power lines, you will see Hanging Rock. And I look at it every single day. Okay, I'm a creature of habit anyway, but man, every day, I never miss. If I'm driving by there, I look up and I see it. Why? Well, I'm gonna tell you why. Because when I lived in Travelers Rest, South Carolina, 10 or 12 years ago, okay, maybe a little bit longer than that now. Gosh, I'm getting old. Okay, so maybe 15 years ago, I think about when I lived in Travelers Rest, I would drive out of Greenville, South Carolina, go north into Travelers Rest, and there was a massive mountain view every single day. There, 180 degrees, Blue Ridge Mountains, and I would see it every day. And it wasn't until I moved to Raleigh, North Carolina, that I realized I had stopped looking at it a year before. And you know what there ain't in Raleigh? Mountains, okay? And I realized once they weren't there that I had kind of gotten used to the view. And so now I'm blessed because there's a mountain view. Now, it's a little tiny mountain, okay? But there is a little tiny mountain view. I'm going to stop and look at it and praise God for his beauty in creation. Some of us, that's what we need to do today is to say, man, forget what I know, relearn it a little bit here and take it in. See the view. Look what it says, that we should be called the children of God. That's the mountain today. All right, that's the mountain tonight. That's the view. This is what we're supposed to see. Man, that something about what God has done in lavishing his love upon us, in giving us his love, okay?
something about that has called us the children of God, and it is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Some of us in here that might be newer to this, or maybe you're not a believer, you think like this. You think, man, what's the big deal about being a part of this family of God? Like, aren't we all part of the family of God, right? Aren't we all children of God? And I said this in the intro, I'll say it again. There's a part of that that is true, okay? Man, all of us are stamped with the image of God. This is a doctrine that we hold deeply in the Christian faith. It's one of those things that makes us very excited when it comes to reaching out to those with disabilities or thinking about the unborn or reaching out to prisoners, okay? It's like there's no segment of society that gets glossed over or looked over. We are all stamped with the image of God and therefore worthy of dignity and worth and respect and ought to be chased and valued. Yes, we are a part of creation, but every single one of us here and every human being on the planet is set apart from creation. Our seminary partner, one of our seminaries here in North Carolina that we partner with, and we have an in-house seminary at Mercy Hill, but we partner with them. Guys, they just graduated this last week, 24 inmates inside of the North Carolina prison system with Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry to be missionaries where they are. Can we praise God for that? I mean, think about that, right? Full equipping from inside of prison. Man, what do you see Christians doing all around the world? Reaching out, man, jumping into these types of ministries. Why? Because we are part of creation, but we are set apart from creation, and every human bears the image of God. And whether you ever become a Christian or not, that is true of you. But you need to understand today that when John is talking about those that are called the children of God, he is not talking in general about everybody that is a part of creation. What he is saying is there is a love that is bestowed, a love that is given, a love, the old translation would say, that is lavished upon us. And it is incumbent upon us to receive this love from God. And when that happens, we go from what the Christians would say is death to life. We go from ones who were not part of the family to being part of the family. And this is how this whole thing sort of comes together when you begin to think about Christmas and the cross and all these symbols that we have and the resurrection. It's all part of a beautiful story of God giving his love, bestowing his love, lavishing his love. Yes, Jesus came. This is kind of the point. Do you have the parts or the point? The point is this. Jesus did come in a manger, but he was destined for a cross. He was born to a manger, but he came to die. He lived to die. There was a story that all these symbols wrap up in, and it is the story of God bestowing his love. You know, human beings, every single one of us have followed our first parents, and that was beautifully done in our kind of artistic video there, where we have this story of Adam and Eve who sinned against God. And when they sinned against God, listen, they created an environment. Every single one of our hearts, we follow them. We sin as well. How many of us can say, man, just think about the pride in our hearts. Think about the jealousy that we feel. Think about a God that sees every thought we have ever had and knows how we think about other people and speak about other people. How many of us, don't raise your hand, but how many of us have gone through multiple days of our life where we thought about nobody but ourselves? These are called sins. And because of our sin, we have a broken relationship with God, with creation, and with each other. But then the beauty of Christmas is that it's part of this narrative of Jesus coming, born of a Virgin Mary, takes on a human nature so that he can live a life in our place. And he lives sinlessly. At the end of his life, he deserves the rewards of righteousness for living the perfect life before God. Instead, man, he goes to a cross and dies a sinner's death and is laid in a tomb. Yes, Jesus as a baby was swaddled in clothes and laid in a manger. It wouldn't be the last time he was swaddled up in a bunch of clothes. He was wrapped in grave clothes and laid in a borrowed tomb. And 3 days later, praise God, he burst forth in his resurrection, offering us the newness of life. These are parts that come together into a point. And the point is, God has bestowed his love. And then he has given us his love. That if we would accept it, we would be called the children of God. Anyone who places their faith in him for salvation becomes a child of God. They become a child of God through adoption. All right, this is why Mercy Hill is so fired up about adoption. It's because you and I understand, listen, we were not born into the family of God. Through our sin, we had to be reborn. We weren't born in, we had to be brought in. We were strangers before we became sons and daughters of God. We were brought in because somebody, Jesus, paid the price for our adoption to come back into the family. This is why Christians in general get excited about adoption. This is why our church gets excited about adoption, y'all. I mean, at Mercy Hill, I want to tell you something. We are trying to raise up a force for foster care. We want to raise up an army for adoption. And by God's grace, it's happening. We have one small group, one Bible study in Davidson County. There are 10 adoptive and fostered kids represented in the families in that one community group in Davidson County. Can you believe that? I mean, I think about this. In 2020, right before, and when I say right before, I mean, this was God ordained. The offering was the week before the shutdowns with COVID. So, I mean, God has our church on a trajectory with this stuff, guys, and you are an incredibly generous church. The week before the shutdowns, you guys gave $250,000 for the sake of funding adoptions in our community and in our church so that when there is a family at Mercy Hill that comes forward and says, man, we will take on this incredible ministry, we will step forward to adopt, that Mercy Hill is able to say, man, we'll pay 25% of the bill just like that. Can you guys praise God for that? I mean, think about how that impacts generate. Why do Christians get so fired up about these ministries? And why are we so fired up about these ministries? Because we were adopted, if you're a believer. Man, if you put your faith in Christ, we understand what it was like to be spiritually orphaned. We understand what it's like to have spiritual fatherlessness. We weren't born in, we were brought in. We were reborn into the family of God. Man, somebody paid the price for us to come in, and that was Jesus Christ. And we praise him for that. My question here tonight for us is, do we understand the nature of what that phrase means, that God has bestowed, given his love for us? I hope that you do, but if you don't, let me say this to you today. I'm going to talk to two groups of people, and I'll be done, okay? And we'll get back to singing together. But, man, if you're like, man, I don't know about all of this, let me encourage you with this. Receive God's love and become his child this Christmas. I know that you are a part of creation, and therefore are stamped with the image of God. You are set apart in creation as special. You are the crowning jewel. All of humanity is. I get that. But there is a line that we cross over when we accept the love that he has bestowed upon us. And I want to call you to do that today. I want to call you to admit that you are a sinner and have fallen out of the family of God, and then believe that Jesus Christ has done everything necessary to save you by living a life you didn't live, dying a death that you deserve, and then, praise God, raising from the dead, bursting forth from the grave and offering you a chance to be united with him. And then confess him as the Lord of your life and follow him. And when you do, you will receive this love that he has bestowed upon us, and you will be counted as part of the family of God. But you know what? Even as I say that, man, it's hard for humans. It's hard for humanity to take that step. You know why? Because every single one of us are wired for religion, not gospel. You say, whoa, those are two terms. What do you mean by that? We are wired to say, many of us will do this even today, okay? You'll hear this message, and what you'll say is you'll go home and you'll say, you know what? That's right, man. I need to get my spiritual self together for 2022. I need to pick myself up by my bootstraps. Man, there's some things I need to stop doing. There's some things I need to start doing. You know, I'm gonna do some right things before God. I'm gonna be a little more this, or I'm gonna stop doing a little bit of this, and I'm gonna clean myself up, and I'm gonna be good before God. We are wired for that. This is what we think many times. Here's the way it goes for us. Many times we think, if I can act like a child of God enough, he'll call me one. Y'all, many religions are that way around the world. What we think is, if I can make myself lovable, he'll love me. Many religions are that way around the world, but there is one that is absolutely the opposite. You cannot make yourself lovable. You cannot clean yourself up enough. You cannot act like a child of God in the way that he sees, because he doesn't just see our behavior, he sees our hearts as well. The only way that you have an opportunity to act like a child of God is if you already are one. And you get to be one by accepting the bestowed love that he has given to us, and admit that we are a sinner and believe what Christ has done and confess him as the Lord of your life. It is a beautiful gift that he didn't have to give, but he gave it to us, and I'm calling you to accept it today. I want you to think about this analogy with me, okay? Because many of us kind of look at the gift of adoption and we just don't see it for what it is. Let me give you an analogy, okay? I want you to imagine that there's an adoption that's about to happen, okay? And what's going on is like, man, family is here and social worker is here and all that's left to do is just sign the papers and man, and that's what's going on. But right before the papers get signed, Foster, you know, the social worker comes in and says to the family, okay, there's a family sitting here, social worker here, says to the family, hey, there's some things that we didn't tell you. There's some things that were new information to us that you need to know right before we go forward with this adoption. Hey, just so you know, the child that you guys are adopting is a lot older than the one that you thought. And actually, there's some issues. There's a lot of background of abuse, and there's some violence going on, and there's a long history of addiction in the males in this family, and man, there was this fire-starting incident, and man, there's all these emotional things, and there's multiple therapies you're going to need to do during the week, and there's all these different outbursts, and man, you know, they come to the end of this long list, and they take the papers and slide them across the table to the family and say, all right, hey, let's sign, and let's get going, you know, And the family's just kind of there in a little bit of shock and sort of thinking about, man, this is a little bit of information to process here. Listen, if you've never heard that analogy before, I promise you, and if you have heard it before, you know where I'm going with this, but if you've never heard that analogy before, here's what you're thinking. You're thinking to yourself, man, I don't know if we could do that. I don't know if we could bring that child into our family, you know? Like, man, that's a long list. We have other kids. You're sitting there thinking, man, would we have what it takes to bring that child into our family? Every one of us go there in our mind without realizing, y'all, in that analogy, you are not the adoptive parent. You are that child. And the God of the universe is sitting on the other end of the table and hearing this litany because he sees the heart of all of the different ways that you and I, every single one of us, are jacked up and sinful and broken. And he's sitting at the other end of the table, and he's sitting there, and he's saying, man, I'll pay the price. I'm not just going to sign my name. I'm going to sign in blood. I'm going to bring my son to this earth, exchange his life for yours to bring you into this family. It is a beautiful, wonderful gift. Can you stare at it today? Hey, if you're not a believer, would you step over that line? Would you talk to somebody who invited you here today or maybe come up after the service? I'll be in the lobby. There'll be, man, many of our people are around. Anybody who's got a t-shirt, you know, a Mercy Hill shirt on or whatever, talk to somebody about these things. Admit, believe, and confess. Hey, and when you do, when you step over that line to adoption, man, you become part of a new family that's got a new culture. And all of a sudden, the culture of this family is now your life isn't about you. Your life is about making the biggest splash and impact that you can in the short little vapor of time that we have on this earth. All of a sudden, it becomes about something that is not just living for the moment, okay? It becomes a life lived for eternity as we're chasing after what God has for us. I want you to feel the electricity of living for the purpose for which you were created, not just the moment. Guys, this time of year, man, I always sort of laugh about this because all these Christmas songs that are on the radio, man, some of them are so weird, and you know what I'm talking about, all right? Okay, I mean, it's like, man, you know, the first one I think of is Jingle Bells. Now, one of the reasons Jingle Bells is weird is because it is absolutely not a Christmas song. If you don't believe me, listen to it when you go home. Most of y'all are going to, I just lost you for the whole sermon. You're going, Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells, in your mind, okay? It has nothing to do with Christmas. Winter, maybe. Christmas, nada, okay? The second one that is super weird is Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Weird and violent, all right? So I don't know what's going on in that family, okay? And then the third one, all right, that I've mentioned before, okay, the third weirdest Christmas, the shadiest character in all of Christmas stuff is Frosty the Snowman, all right? And I don't know if you've heard the full version of Frosty the Snowman, but it's very, very weird, okay? I mean, you got this character who is, I mean, just wreaking havoc, encouraging tobacco use among minors with that corncob pipe, okay? He's disobeying the police. Oh, yeah, go down there. Tell him to stop. He ain't stopping, but just for a second, all right? You know, I don't know what he's doing with that broomstick, but it ain't good. I promise you that. Then at the end, what does he do? He's going to melt away, but he vows to be back. He's coming back in our worst nightmares, y'all. Frosty is a shady, shady character, all right? I know that Buddy the Elf, you know, the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. And that's true. If you're singing Frosty, you're singing and spreading Christmas cheer and anarchy, okay? So watch what you're doing with that. Hey, but what's the worst part about Frosty? The worst part about Frosty, okay, is that he has this philosophy of hedonism where he says, hey, the sun is up and the sun is hot, and I'm about to melt away, so let's run and have some fun, right, before my life is over. I mean, he knows the sun is up, and I've only got a little bit of hours here, so let's just run. Guys, that's the American culture. Man, some of you are in that trap right now. You're like, I don't know what life's about. Man, if I asked you, if I said, hey, give me a simple purpose statement for your life, it's like, man, I don't know. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I just know the sun is up, and man, I could chase some things for fun, and then it's going to be over. You were made for more than that. Mercy Hill, we say this all the time. You are made for more than possessions and promotions. Your kids were made for more than straight A's in soccer. Man, we don't just need to entertain ourselves in the little bit of time that we've got while the sun is up. Man, you were made to fulfill the purpose for which God created you in your giftings. It starts with your adoption, and it's a lifelong culture of the family. Man, as we chase some things down for God's glory together, and I pray that you'll take that step. Hey, but for Christians, man, let me just say this to you guys today, and then I'll be done. Man, what is the application for us from this passage? Hey, remember God's love and delight in it. Delight in your Father's love for you this Christmas. I want you to take it in. What is 1 John 3 about? What does he say? Behold, if you go back and read this whole little book, you're going to realize that by the time you get to 1 John chapter 3, the writer is beside himself. It is one of these moments where there is an outburst of emotion that is going on in his life. All right, he is experiencing the love of God. He is remembering, man, I am a child of God and I don't deserve that, but it's here. And I want that for us all, right? Especially this Christmas. I want us to take in the view. Man, have you remembered what God has done for you? Have you remembered how great and significant this gift is in your life? Don Richardson was a missionary in the 1960s for the Sawi people in Papua New Guinea. There was a tough tribe. I'm talking violent, cannibalistic. This was a tribe that's highest virtue was deceit and treachery. I want you to imagine that. If you taught that to your kids as a virtue, what that does to a culture. So for example, whenever he finally was able to learn their language enough to share the gospel with him, when he got to the part about Judas betraying Jesus, they stood up and cheered. They thought Judas was the hero of the whole story. Now you think about how that goes for generation after generation. Finally, Don Richardson and his family, he said to them, he said, man, I love you. I've come here to share the gospel with you, to bring, man, medicine and help and physical needs and all that kind of stuff. But I have to leave. You're so violent. I feel like my family's going to get killed. I'm going to get killed. You have these wars all the time. There's spears coming in our house and all this stuff. And they said, don't leave. We want to hear more stories. We want to be able to experience the healing that you're bringing and all this kind of stuff. Well, another battle broke out soon after, and another clan of the Sawi had come in, and there was a massive battle going on. But they didn't want Don to leave, and all of a sudden he realized something was going on, and he looked out, and there was a woman that was carrying her baby, and she ran out into the middle of the battle. And when she came out screaming and running with this baby, all of a sudden, all the men stopped fighting and they laid down their weapons. And the woman walked over to the enemy and she gave her child to this enemy. And they took the baby and weapons laid down and they went home. And Don Richardson is like, what is going on? Embedded in generations of culture was an ancient tradition. How can you ever trust anybody else from another tribe and another clan if your highest virtue is treachery? The only way you would be able to trust them is if they were willing to give you what in their culture they called a peace child. And the idea was this, man, if there's a war between two clans and they really have to work it out, we will give one baby from our tribe to your tribe. And then that child will be raised as one of yours. And as long as that child is alive, we will have peace, because that's what the peace child brings. And Don Richardson said, man, I know what I'm going to do now. Gathers the people up. And he says, hey, Jesus Christ was given as the ultimate peace child to bring you into the family of God. And as long as he is alive, you have part and parcel in the family of God. And praise God, he will live for eternity. This is the gift we have been given. Man, don't miss the view, Christian. What manner of love is this that the Father has bestowed, lavished upon us, that we would be called the children of God? And we're going to go into some time of singing here in just a minute. And man, let us remember what God has done for us and let it move us emotionally to praise him. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. And Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, that in this place there would be hundreds of people who would consider the claims of Christianity, of what you have done for them, that we would use Christmas as an opportunity to look upon your love for us. And God, I just pray right now, Lord, that we would have people step over the line, make a decision to come back and jump in with our new series that we have coming in January. Lord, and start learning what it's like to be part of this family of which they are now a part if they step over this line and place their faith in you. And Father, I pray for my heart and for those in this room that are where I am, been a believer for a long time. God, I pray that we would have a fresh look at your love given to us in the gospel. We praise you for the miracle of the incarnation, that Jesus came and took on a human nature, that he would die for us and be raised for us. Let us praise you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.